from the 102.7 ESPN studios in Austin, Texas. This is the Jeff and Ed Show.
Hey, welcome back to the show on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Ed Plummets along with Kyle Owen this afternoon and Trey Edwards, or Trey Campbell. Jeff Ward will be back on Thursday. So we're glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Stay cool out there. One of the great stories in the world of golf unfolded last Sunday. Texas has a history of great golfers. Tom Kite, Ben Crenshaw, Justin Leonard, Jordan Spieth, Scotty Scheffler, the number one player in the world. And a new star is emerging. He won on the Korn Ferry Tour in his fourth ever start as a PGA Tour member. His name is Tommy Morris, and he won in Chicago at the Korn Ferry there. Four starts, four cuts, and a winner last night. And I've followed Tommy's career since he was in high school. Know his family. Bought him a lot of cheeseburgers and french fries at Dirty Martin's and a few beers officially. And he joins us now at the Utah Championship at Ogden, Utah. Tommy, first of all, welcome back to our radio station. And congratulations on that big win on Sunday.
What's up, guys? Thank you so much. That was pretty fun.
It was so fun to follow this it wasn't on TV, so I followed it on the computer. Talk about that final round when you really you went out and attacked the golf course early. What was your thinking on the final round?
Yeah, I mean, I had to keep the pedal down. There was a couple guys chasing there behind me, and it was a fairly low scoring week. Everybody was seemed like everybody was making a bunch of birdies, so I knew I had to go out and play a really good round, and couldn't really take my foot off the gas.
Tommy, the Saturday night before, how did you sleep, and did you hear from a lot of former players? And you got two of your best friends out there, Luke Parter and Christian Moss, but did you hear from other folks in Austin and Dallas to give you encouragement, and how has your support been since you've been out on the Korn Ferry Tour?
Yeah, I heard from a couple people just saying good luck and good playing on Saturday. It's awesome to have Christian and Luke out here. We've done a couple of practice rounds and a couple of dinners, which has been super fun to travel with them. I slept terrible on Saturday night. I thought I was going to be fine. I felt comfortable. And then I woke up at 2:30, 4:30, and 7. We had plans to go to a little pancake house right next to the hotel. I was driving by it all week, and we were finally going to go Sunday morning. And then I tried to go back to sleep at about 8 o'clock when we were supposed to go to breakfast. So those breakfast plans fell through, but yeah, it all worked out in the end.
Well, after winning that first place check, you can buy a lot of pancakes there, buddy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, did you expect for your career to jumpstart this so quickly? Four events, four cuts made, and you made some money now, and you won last week. Did you expect this success to happen this quickly? You had a great tournament in Amarillo, and then other tournaments, and then in Chicago last week. And did you expect this success this quickly?
I don't know that I expected it this quickly, but Amarillo was a really good week for me. It was my first one out, and I finished 10th, and I think was maybe the third to last group out on Sunday, or maybe the second to last group. And I hung in there all day. I didn't, quite have it, but I felt comfortable. And then the week, 2 weeks after that, I was in the final group, or maybe one behind the final group. And I felt comfortable, really all the way through in all those events. So I think those weeks prior gave me a lot of confidence, and I knew that I could do it. And, to actually do it is a different story. But short answer, I don't know that I expected it, success like this to come that quick. But, I'd been playing really good. So expectations changed a little bit after the first couple of weeks and seeing some good results.
We talked about, Christian being out there, Luke Potter being out there, some other Central Texas guys, a number of them, Cole Hammer, the former Longhorn, Cooper Dossie's out there. Talk about the competition. And people think this may be the second level of the tour. But let me tell you what, guys can play on the Korn Ferry Tour. Your thoughts about your competition out there?
It's pretty ridiculous. Not much else to say. I mean, the competition is insanely competitive. It's you know, if you let your mind slip at all over the course of the, you know, 4.5 hours that you're out there playing, you can't really let it happen. Even if it's a simple up and down or whatever it might be, you somehow got to find a way to stay focused, really every minute you're out there. Enjoy it. But, you know, when it comes time to hit the shot, you've got to be fully focused and ready to go. And, that's really hard to do. It's an insanely competitive tour. You've got, you know, I've been seeing a lot of guys that I watched on the PGA Tour playing on the Korn Ferry over the last couple of weeks, and just to think that we're playing in the same field is pretty crazy. It's hard to compare what, you know, a Korn Ferry field is like, but you know, I hear a lot of guys say that sometimes it's even harder to win out here in some aspects than maybe on the PGA Tour because of how low you have to go.
Tommy Morrison is with us, a former Longhorn who's made a big impact on the Korn Ferry Tour after four starts. He won in Chicago last week, in Utah this week, playing at the Utah Championship in Ogden, Utah. You're currently number 8 on the money list already. $329,000. You're paying for the burgers at Dirty's next time you realize that. But
I'd be happy to.
Okay, good. I'm going to hold you to that during football season. Yeah. Now, tell our listeners about the ways you can get to the PGA Tour, the big tour. I know they've got a thing at the Korn Ferry Tour. You win 3 times in a year, you get moved up. What about at the end of the season? Do they deal with money, points? How do the top players at the Korn Ferry Tour get to the PGA Tour, Tommy?
Yeah, there's, to my knowledge, there's really 2 ways you can win 3 times in a season on the Korn Ferry, and that gets you an immediate promotion to the PGA Tour, or you can finish top 20 on the points list at the end of the year. So our season will wrap up the second week of October, and if you're top 20 on that points list, you've got yourself a PGA Tour card for the year following.
Now, where are you on the points list right now?
I just moved up to 8th on the points list.
Fantastic. Do you feel that's secure? I know you've got the tournaments left. You've got Utah. Then you've got a tournament in Omaha. You've got the Albertsons in Boise, Kansas City, Franklin, Tennessee. You play at the Scarlet Course at Ohio State. Topping off the championship in Richmond, in Glen Allen, Virginia, October 8th through the 11th. Do you feel like you're in good position? What do you have to do to secure that PGA Tour card?
I don't know that you ever really feel secure in this game. It's a crazy game we play. I think last week definitely helped a lot. But no, I plan on playing the rest of the year. Try and keep moving up. I think number 1 on that points list maybe has you know, a little bit more incentive. I'm not 100% sure, but I think you get into maybe elevated events on PGA Tour, which makes a big difference. So I'll you know, enjoy last week as much as possible, but at the same time keep trying to move up. Like I said, I don't know that you ever really feel secure in this game.
Have you felt like, uh-oh, I'm working now. I go to work every day. I don't go to campus and go to the UT Golf Club and see my buddy Steve Tremere and all the great Greg Garner and the great folks and my teammates. This is work, isn't it?
No, I feel like I'm in a dream and I don't want to ever wake up. But, yeah, I miss those guys. I miss UT Golf Club a lot, Steve and Greg, everybody there. They're amazing. I hopefully can get back in the fall for some football games.
I hope you do, too. Now, there's a tournament in Austin in November, the Good Good Championship, November 12th to the 15th, and we're going to talk with Ian tomorrow from the Good Good Championship. Do you feel like, and I'm not sure if they've talked to you yet, because I know you've got great connections with the Good Good people, are you going to get in that tournament? Do you feel like you'll get a special exemption, or you could possibly earn your way into the Good Good Championship here in Austin at the Canyons Golf Course at Barton Creek in November?
I certainly hope so. I mean, we play that golf course every Monday. I think it was one of, if not the only golf course open on Mondays, and we would always qualify out there. And I really like what they did with that golf course. And I think Austin's an amazing place to host a PGA Tour event, especially in the fall. So hopefully that works out. Yeah, hopefully maybe we can earn our own way into that tournament. But that would be really special to come back and play. You know, a PGA Tour event in Austin.
You have a very close-knit family. And I know I saw them traveling in your first tournaments. Talk about them being at the tournaments and what that means to have your family there. And who is your caddy, by the way? I don't know who that is. I saw you had a big embrace with him last Sunday in Chicago. Who is that?
Yeah, his name's Scott McGinnis. He's an Australian guy, played a bunch of golf growing up. Worked with a bunch of guys, most noticeably was with Scottie Scheffler for a long time. Spent the last couple of years with Mito Pereira, lives in Dallas. We just got connected. We really, I think it was during the match play portion of the NCAAs. We got connected and it worked out. So I couldn't be happier to be working with him. I think I call him Scotty Mac. He's great. I think he's learned my game better than I even know my own game. And we've only been together for 4 weeks. So he's been a huge part of the recent success that we have.
Have your parents been out with you a lot, your other members of the family, to show support?
Yeah, my little brother's busy with his high school football. Older brother's busy working. Dad's always running around. He's busy. But my mom's been able to come out to a couple of events. Both my parents and my little brother came to Colorado a couple weeks ago. And then my parents flew in Saturday into Chicago. And so that was really cool. They mean so much to me. I mean, they're my parents. They're everything. They've sacrificed so much for my golf. And to have them there on 18 on Sunday in Chicago was really special.
Yeah, it looked really special. I messaged your old coach, John Fields, today, and I said, congratulations on Tommy's success, and I don't think you'll mind. He said, thanks, Ed. In spite of the coaching, somehow our guys get better. So yeah. Very humbly spoken by John Fields. So if you've been around, he and John Paul Hebert recruited you many, many years ago. I remember seeing you a picture of you when you were in high school. You played Austin Golf Club with Ben Crenshaw and my buddy Scotty Sayers, and they I remember they called me on the way home. They said, oh, we play with a young man. First of all, look at this picture, how big he is. He says he can hit it a mile, and you were in high school. So you got a lot of fans in this town. I hope you realize that. A lot of people, UT Golf Club and at Barton Creek and at all the clubs here, and all the just, you know, the guys at Muni and Butler Pitch and Putt, people are. And you've been at all those places. I did an event with you at Butler Pitch and Putt this past spring, but you got a lot of support in this town. You do.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. I wish I could go back to Austin and be in school again. I think UT was, you know, four of the most fun years of my life, probably the most fun I'll ever have. And I think the world of Austin, I absolutely love it. I wish I could, you know, live there maybe one day and go back. But I think Austin's a really special place, and I'll definitely be making an effort to come back for football games or whatever it might be as much as possible. I miss those times, you know, going to Butler and Dirty Martins with you, whatever it was, Driftwood,
yeah,
playing with the team, whatever it is. Austin's always a good time, so I love it.
You're welcome back any Saturday with our crew at Dirty Martins. You know that, and we look forward to seeing you maybe later in the football season, but keep on going. Get that card for the PGA Tour. You're an elite company. This is the way Scottie Scheffler got to the PGA Tour. He won on the Korn Ferry Tour. Have you had a chance to talk to any of the older guys, Scotty or Jordan? I know you play a lot of golf when you're in Dallas with some of those guys who are on the PGA Tour. Have you a chance to visit with any of those guys?
I haven't yet. I think everyone's just been busy. It's been a hectic, last month or two. But I did just move back to Dallas, so hopefully we can start playing some games or something back home. But I did hear from your good friend Ben Crenshaw Sunday night, which is really cool. That was a fun text to get.
That is, he's a special guy, and like I say, you got a lot of support here in the capital city. Hey, we're going to let you go, but Tommy, best of luck this weekend in Utah, and make cuts, make checks. If you see Luke Potter, tell him hello, and Christian Moss and the guys, and Cole Hammer. It's great to have that representation of all the former Longhorns on the Corn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour. Have a great weekend. We'll visit with you soon, Tommy. Thank you.
Thank you. See you guys.
All right. Bye-bye now. Tommy Morrison, the former Longhorn, he's made a big splash on the Corn Ferry Tour, winning last week. And Kyle, as we said, Jackson Colvin won, and Tommy and Jackson went head-to-head when Jackson was at Auburn. So it's kind of cool, these guys who were in college just a few months ago, made such an impact in golf at the tender age of, 21 and 22 years old. These guys are good. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from the man, the myth, the legend. This is his big day. This was like the State of the Union address for the man they call Gerald R. Jones. 80-plus-year-old Jerry Jones making his 30-plus appearance at a training camp. And boy, he's talking big today. I'm talking big about my Cowboys. We'll hear what Jerry said today out in California and much, much more coming up next on 102.7 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN. You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
All right, back on the show. It's a Tuesday afternoon. We talked golf with Tommy Morrison tomorrow. My friend Ian, who runs the Good Golf Tournament on the PGA Tour, is going to be along tomorrow afternoon to talk about the tournament, how you can be involved in things we expect to see. It's going to be interesting to see the Good because Kyle and Trey, by the way, joined by my buddies Kyle Owen and Trey Campbell. We were so spoiled by the Dell Technologies match play with the top 64 players in the world. We were so spoiled. It's going to be vastly different with the good. As we talk with Tommy Morrison, everybody is good. And this is the PGA Tour. This is not a Corn Ferry event. This is the PGA Tour. And you will expect to see guys probably from number 80 to about 140 on the money list and the scoring list and everything. They're going to try to better themselves. It's going to be very rigid to get on tour the next few years. So you're going to see some big names there. You are, because there's guys who've not played well this year, and you're going to see some good names. You may not see the giant names. I would be vastly surprised if Scottie Scheffler played in this. I'd love to see Scottie play in the good event, but he doesn't need to. And I heard an interview with Scotty last week where he says, the fall is my special time with my family. This is a time when I can be with my kids, be with my wife, and I don't have to worry about golf. And we'll learn more with Ian tomorrow about some exemptions, and I think Tommy Morrison will be in it. And quite frankly, I think they probably should. I'm just saying this. I'll tell this to Ian too. Get Christian Moss and Luke Potter, the former Longhorns, to help with the crowds. But you're going to have some good players here. And I think even Jordan Spieth has not had a great year, and I have to check the numbers. Jordan may come. Who knows? And it's going to be interesting because they go right against the NFL this year,
mm-hmm.
and they go against Texas and LSU.
And ACL and F1.
That weekend?
No. I don't know if it's the same weekend, but it's within a week.
No. This is a November tournament.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is LSU weekend. I know. If that was, that'd be crazy if it was during the ACL goes against OU. I know that for 1 week. And no, this is November, mid-November. But they go against the LSU Texas weekend. The game is not in Austin. It's in Baton Rouge. So, yeah, it goes against that. So we'll see. And I'm anxious to hear from Ian tomorrow with great insight. Dallas Cowboys, 5% chance of reaching the Super Bowl. That's seventh in the NFC, but you wouldn't know it today after hearing from the great guy, Jerry Jones, who's owned the Dallas Cowboys since 1989. As I said earlier, this is State of the Union. this is his one shining moment. Well, he has shining moments every week because he loves the media. But he's up there with his boys today in Oxnard wearing his coach's cap and that old, he wears those coach's shorts. Those, remember those bike coaching shorts your JV coach wore back in 1979, 80? Yeah, he dresses the part. And Jerry addressed the media and America today at Dallas Cowboy Camp.
It's telling me I got to log on to Twitter.
Oh, it tells you to log on to Twitter. Well, we'll figure that out, okay? Log on to Twitter, but we can talk amongst ourselves, Kyle.
Yeah.
I love to hear Jerry in this day because the guy's all jacked up. God love him. You know, he paid $189 million, and now the franchise is worth, we talked about yesterday, $15 billion, something like that.
Yeah, probably more.
He has been a hands-on owner, and I believe hands-on to the Dallas Cowboys' demise most of the years. They had a great run in the 90s, winning the Super Bowls with Jimmy Johnson. But he's the general manager, too, and he's not a very good general manager. But he owns a team, and he can say, and this is what he said earlier today. Trey, let's try to get it on there.
I'd say that Stephen was commenting on is, candidly, I'd be very interested. I'd give up future to add substantive to where we are today as to a player, to give you an idea about would I invest something substantive to get the right kind of deal to improve us opening day? I would. I feel that good about this team this year. And, of course, you know that I haven't seen this team play together. And so, but in general, looking ahead, I think we've got a chance to be worthy of spending some future if we saw an opportunity.
Kinds of conversations that are ongoing, or is that something, hey, let's look at the first 2 weeks of camp and then address to see if you want to put something substantial?
I talked about a situation yesterday with another team and another owner.
Okay, what in the hell is he talking about?
He's talking about him playing, but we're good.
Yeah, and he did say, and we didn't have that cut, he said he has Super Bowl hopes for this team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. 5% chance, according to the latest data from the National Football League, of the Cowboys getting into the Super Bowl. But I guess hope springs eternal. But what is he talking about at this late date here at the start of training camp?
If I had to guess, I'd say maybe he's back talking with the Raiders about Max Crosby potentially. That would be what I'd have to guess, because I know they were in on Max Crosby in the offseason, and they got kind of bamboozled by the Ravens. But if I had to guess, it would be more a big superstar pass rusher to replace what they had with Micah.
Yeah, well, he said, I want to do it now and not wait for the future. And that's wise, because he's in his, what, early 80s?
Yeah, he's
older than President
Trump. On the back nine, yeah.
He's on the back nine alive, so I know he's desperate to do some good. But what he just said, maybe Max Crosby? Got to be a defensive player.
Yeah, that's
what I
would
guess.
It's got to
be a total impact player, and I don't know. Is he talking, convince Aaron Donald to come out of retirement and come play for the Cowboys and not the Rams?
I don't think that's going to happen.
That would be stupid.
I mean, we have the plug in the middle that we need, the Cowboys do, but yeah, it'd have to be an edge or a linebacker or something to get off the edge. I think that's the biggest part of the Cowboys right now that needs the most help. Maybe
what
even
linebacker is out there that it's a big-time linebacker, a difference maker, a team. They'd have to be a non-contender for a contender to give up your great linebacker. I don't know of anybody out there that's going to, oh, yeah, Jerry, you can have our superstar linebacker because we're not going to be any good this year. I don't know who that is.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's going to be one of those guys. I mean, maybe like, I don't know if they can get any of the young guys that came out of the draft. There's a lot of edge guys that have been coming out of the draft recently, but I mean, like Vita Vey is asking for a trade.
Yeah.
I don't really need it.
Is he a difference maker? Is that that big of a...
Well, like I said, the Cowboys already have their plug guy in the middle.
Quinn and Williams and all that.
So I hope that's not what he's talking about, because if that is the case, that's not going to do much at all for the Cowboys. But I mean, you got guys like, you know, Fred Warner, Roquan Smith, and Carson Swissinger.
I don't think that those guys are available.
But
though.
Yeah, those are your big guys. I mean, you.
I think Cleveland's going to get rid of him.
I don't know if Philly's looking to move Zach Bond.
Is Mike Singletary available?
Yeah. Dick Butkus?
Dick Butkus and Mike Singletary. I don't know. God love him, but you think he would? He would have started this talk with Cowboy fans pre-draft,
yeah,
and say, listen, I want to win now. We're gonna win now, and well, I'm not looking at the long-term future.
Well, it's interesting because I mean he traded for picks this past year, so like if he says he wants to win now, but he's trading for picks to get in the future, I mean, I guess you could also parlay those into, you know, players right now as well. And I guess, I mean, obviously he's got to win sometime soon. He doesn't, and God willing, he only has so many years left on this earth, but it's got to be a win now situation. But I don't know how they're going to do that with, you know, they have all the picks they need, but they also need to do something with those picks to be able to get the guys. And, you know, if DeMarvion Overshown can get healthy, yeah, I think they're pretty good at linebacker there. So I think it really does need to be, you know, a cornerback or an edge rusher guy that can get to the quarterback. But yeah, it's just, I don't see who there is that you can grab right now that is wanting to be moved, or a team that is willing to move a guy. Most of the corners that were dealt in the offseason have already been dealt, and they've already got their stuff going on, and you're seeing two big cornerbacks already getting their paydays, and
sure,
so these are guys that I don't think that there's not going to be a lot of movement on the defensive side of the ball for the rest, I mean, that the, yeah, Cowboys have needs for that this year and for trades. So I don't know what he's looking at, and I hope it's not offense because they absolutely don't need any help.
Don't mess with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I have no idea what Jerry's thinking with this, but obviously Jerry does what Jerry does, and he's going to decide whatever he wants to decide without any inclination of telling us anything until it's done.
Well, Jerry is like just about every Cowboy fan I know. It's going to be our year. I know, yeah, struggle. It's going to be our year. He said today, competing for a title, it's not a reach. Well, yeah, yeah, it is, yeah, a reach, he because said, you got to have a lot of things go right, Jerry. You got to have Dak have another magnificent season. You've got to get CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens to stay healthy.
And you
got to
re-sign George Pickens.
Yeah, you got to do that. But this year,
yeah, actually had a big statement today about
the offense is in place. It's a defense that's been your bugaboo. I don't like their schedule either. I don't like their schedule. If we do a little schedule talk, the Cowboys opened the season at the New York Football Giants on the 13th of September. I don't like that game at all for the Cowboys because it's a difficult place to win, and you've got Dart, and you got Scataboo, and you got John Harbaugh in his first game. Then they host the Commanders. Jaden Daniels got to be better than he was last year. If he recaptures what he was 2 years ago, tough. Then they got to host the Ravens. They're not going to beat the Ravens. I'm sorry. I like Lamar Jackson, and they've got new leadership there. And then the fourth game of the year on October the 4th, they play at Houston. At Houston. Does anybody in this room expect the Cowboys to defeat Houston on the road?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I mean, unless C.J. Stroud just still can't figure out where, yeah, to put the ball. But, Trey, you mentioned this earlier, Tank Dell's back in the fold, so he's going to have a little more options out there. And I think their run game is going to be a little better this year. So I don't know about how. I mean, obviously the Cowboys will be able to put up points, but the Texans' defense being as good as they are going to shut the Cowboys down more than most teams would. So it's going to be, it'll be an interesting matchup, but I think the Texans do come away with that one.
Trey, earlier today, Kyle showed me a video of a guy walking, yeah, like football player. He said, look at this guy. I went, who in the hell is that guy? Who is that guy? He dressed like somebody going to Barton Creek Mall.
Yeah.
And he was just right there, and he had a, didn't, I didn't recognize him, and Kyle said, it's C.J. Stroud. I went, it's not C.J. Stroud.
He had that shorts on. He had basketball shorts on.
It looked like he was a senior in high school in 2007.
Yeah. He looked pretty bad.
Don't let Jeff see that.
He was limping into the – he had a limp. So
his body was shaped like a bell.
Yeah. Everybody was making fun of him on Texans Twitter. Yeah. They were all just kind of making fun of him. I want CJ to have a big year. I like him because I liked him his rookie year. And, you know, I hate to see him turn on him. But this is his make or break year.
This is make or break year for that franchise.
You can't not at least make it to the conference championship with the defense you have, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
So that was Jerry today. Of course, the Cowboys, you know, they get, and looking at the schedule, they do play the Cardinals, which is a win. They got to play at the Colts, which who knows if I'm going to be high on Daniel Jones. The Titans are not a gimme anymore.
Yeah, they've gotten a lot better.
And then they got to go play at Seattle. They got to play at the Rams. They got to host the Jags. Yeah, it's not a favorable schedule to me. Not a favorable schedule at all.
Yeah, it's obviously, I mean, the division isn't very strong right now. So, you know, the possibility of winning it and making the playoffs is there.
You think so? I don't think so with the Eagles. I don't.
It's possible is what I'm saying. I think they are probably the second best team in the division, but it's going to be up to them beating the Eagles at least once to try to get their foot in the door in the playoffs. But, I mean, they could be a wild card team, but it's going to be difficult. I mean, throughout the year, the whole season is difficult. But you're mentioning they got to re-sign George Pickens. So,
yeah.
Jerry actually just came up with his quote a little while ago. I think it was, 20 minutes ago. He said that this could be a very win-win thing that we've done here, us and George being on the team. Make no mistake about it, George could be a Cowboy for the rest of his career, and that'd be a long time. Make no mistake about it, this franchise tag just fit for us this year, and thank goodness it fit for him too. We got it done. So he's looking towards, hopefully, re-signing him, but obviously he just says, you know, after having a great year, and if he has a great year again, he wants him to be the most prolific, successful receiver in the NFL. And how would you like to be a free agent with the credentials like that? You can get a lot of money. So,
old man is on good medication. That's what he's doing. He's there on the JB Scotch, one of the two. I miss the Cowboys. Cowboys had training camp here for several years in the 90s, and it was a lot of fun. We would do the show in our big mobile studio out there. The famous story when Bill Schoening and I are doing the show one day, and our special guest was Nate Newton.
And shout out to Big Nate.
He actually still does a Cowboy or a show with them. Yeah,
sure does.
Yeah.
And that day, you know, as we like to do, we'd get a six-pack of beer to enjoy during the show. We got this six-pack. Cowboys practice is over like at 5:30. He comes, Nate Newton comes in, took off his pads, left it out there with, you know, whomever, walked in our mobile studio where it was cool, and he sees that six-pack. He says, we're doing a commercial. He goes, hey, can I have a beer? I said, well, of course you can have a beer. I looked down in the span of a 2.5-minute break. He drank all the beer.
That's insane.
He drank six beers in like 3 minutes. And I kind of looked over, and Shoney looked over, and, well, you know, he was fun, but golly.
Didn't they stop going to Austin because the Cowboys kept getting in trouble?
Well, there was an incident when one of the wide receivers, I can't remember his name, he was being chased by Austin police on I-35, and he exited 8th Street, and guess where he pulled into? The police department parking lot.
Well, that happens sometimes.
To get away, but Jerry Jones was great because he would host the reporters just about, oh, maybe 3 or 4 nights a week. There was a bar here, boys, called the Copper Tank. Was one of the first craft beer places. It was the first one. And we'd go down there, and it would be all on Jerry Jones. He would pick up the tab, and he'd go to fancy steakhouses. I remember going to Sullivan's one time, and he bought, I'm going to buy you boys a steak dinner. And about 30 media guys got big steaks and red wine on old Jerry. It was probably some trade out he had with Sullivan's, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. Now, the big story, I think, talking about the division, and I would disagree with my friend Kyle, I do think the Eagles still are the front runners. Defensive tackle Jalen Carter. Remember him? Former Georgia Bulldog who got in trouble at Georgia because I think it was the night of the big celebration when Georgia won a national title, started drag racing another car. Friends in Athens, and they wrecked. Two people within the Georgia staff lost their lives, and it was because of Jalen Carter and his driving. He did that. And then last year in the first game of the year with the Cowboys, they hadn't even run a play yet. Dak Prescott comes to the line of scrimmage. Dak spits on the ground. Jalen Carter took offense to that, and his defensive lineman position, he spat and hit Dak Prescott. He got kicked out of that game. Outcry from the nation. Get him out of the league. We don't need that criminal element in the league. He had to give up his salary that week. Week one salary was $57,000. Eagles, well, we're going to keep him because it's good. And today, they gave him a four-year, $152 million extension. He'll be an Eagle through 2031. He's now the richest defensive tackle in the entire NFL, making $38 million a year. And I think, fellas, you ask most football fans, you know what they say? He's worth it. He's worth it because even though he's a kind of a questionable character, that son of a gun can flat out play. All right, we're going to take a break. After we finish this break, more on the Tuesday edition, Hot Take Tuesday on 102.7 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN. You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. Last segment of this show, the really big show. I'm Ed Clements along with Trey Campbell and Kyle Owen on this Hot Take Tuesday afternoon. Jeff, we'll be back Thursday on the show. A lot of things going on in pro football today. Cowboys opened their training camp. The man that was supposed to be C.J. Stroud, and may it didn't look like him, but he's been camp. Fresh haircut, pair of old shorts, looking good. Also, huge news today from before we do that, I need to talk about this. Join ESPN Radio at Lake LBJ this Saturday at 2 o'clock. ESPN broadcast from the Wake Point Open in Kingsland. You ain't going to be in that, Trey? You going to be in the competition?
Yeah, I think so.
Great.
Going
man,
for that $25,000.
Yeah, I think Aaron's going to be there live doing
a
show. Yeah.
Come hang out on the beach for Texas' biggest wakeboarding weekend featuring world champions, top riders, a $25,000 winner-take-all shootout, plus live music, food, drinks, and fireworks. Admission is free, and there's a free shuttle from Wake Point if you're not arriving by boat. See you Saturday at the Wake Point Open. Learn more at wakepointopen.com. Okay, college football news. Some big things happened today, and this could lead to big things happening in Austin. We're talking about what happened with Ohio State and Notre Dame. Ohio State and Notre Dame both revealed today that they have sold the naming right patches on their uniforms, not only for football, but for every sport. Ohio State started it this morning. They signed a $17 million deal with JP Morgan Chase. They've got 36 sports teams at Ohio State from everything, men's and women's. They'll wear a JP Morgan Chase patch on their uniforms. $17 million. And they say JP Morgan will now work with athletes along the entire spectrum for NIL money, which is big, which is big. And then earlier this afternoon, Notre Dame surprised the sporting world. They have signed a deal for a naming rights patch on the famed Notre Dame jersey with SoFi Technologies. Notre Dame is going to get between $18 and $20 million from SoFi Technologies on all their uniforms.
Annually.
Annually. Six-year deal annually. And, Kyle, you were saying to me that it's 18 to 20 because if they get in the playoffs and get that national exposure,
correct,
it goes up.
Yeah. So with Ohio State's deal, it would go up for, like, if they were to make the conference championship, but mm-hmm. Notre Dame doesn't have a conference championship, so therefore they don't have that incentive there. But, like, I guess technically this could be included in, you know, Arkansas's Tyson deal if they were to make the SEC.
Don't bring Arkansas into this discussion.
Okay, well, if they ever do a patch on their jersey, if they make the SEC championship game, they would get extra money from whoever just because of the national exposure. Same with the playoffs. Yeah, it's an additive incentive to do well.
What does Arkansas get from Tyson? Free chicken for the athletic department or something?
Yeah, I think they get free anytizers. Free buffalo boneless anytizers.
Yeah, anytime you want chicken. So that leads to the discussion. And I talked to, after this story broke about Ohio State before Notre Dame, I called a friend highly associated with the UT athletic department and said, what gives? Texas is going to do this? And they told me, quote unquote, it will have to be an extraordinary deal for Texas to get and sell their naming rights on the uniform. But I think in this room we agree it probably is going to happen. And another person I talked to over at the state capitol who talks to people in the high echelon of UT athletics and UT sports and UT in general said, yeah, it's coming. So maybe us old guys ought to just say, okay, they're going to have a patch. Don't get the alternative jerseys. Don't get black jerseys, green jerseys, red jerseys. Put a patch on there. But we were talking about this. If Texas does it, who are they going to sell that patch to? I think it would be, since Notre Dame has set the bar now at $20 million, hey, as DeLoss Dodge used to say, we don't keep up with the Joneses. We are the Joneses. I think it will be a $20 million deal. But who would it be? Some of the names that we batted around earlier. I think the biggest one that is a layup in Austin would be Dell. Mm-hmm. Dell Computers, because Michael Dell likes to sponsor things. He's given, personally, he and his wife have given so much money to the federal government for goodness sake, for the Trump baby deal. They've got it. And locally, they got the Dell Diamond. They've got a lot of things. I think that would be a natural. Also, here are some others. Tesla. Austin. My man Elon Musk, who I don't know if he's ever gotten his pasty white body out of a room to watch a sporting event. But, you know, he's got a lot of kids. Maybe they can be on the sidelines or lead cheers. Tesla would be one, too. Here's another one. Valero, San Antonio company, close to Austin. They've got their own golf tournament. They have a lot of dough. Exxon, a great Texas company. Southwest Airlines. American Airlines headquarters is now in Dallas. Any thoughts from you guys who...
I mentioned earlier HEB, VRBO, probably, maybe...
VRBO, they've got that big thing in, you know, out on Mopac, out there near the Domain. HEB, are they that big? I guess they're that big.
Pretty massive company, I would assume.
They sponsor the Spurs.
They have the naming rights to the Cedar Park Center as well. So... I mean, they're obviously into the sports realm of things. So it's definitely a possibility. Like you said, it's going to have to be a massive deal. So it has to be somebody that has the expendable money. Mm-hmm. Oil and gas obviously has some.
Oh yeah, they want to keep that Iran war going on. Oil prices are going up. So yeah.
One way Texas could keep just money in their own wheelhouse is just, you know, sponsor themselves with their own endowment. All their oil fields out in West Texas.
Oh, sure.
Because, I mean, I mentioned it earlier as well. I mean, some schools are literally just using their own, like, partnerships, like Marshall's using their hospital partnerships, Marshall Health or whatever. And I mentioned UT Anderson or MD Anderson. MD Anderson could be an interesting
big
one.
Big present on UT campus, yeah.
BYU just announced a deal with all of their Olympic sports. Their sponsorship is going to be BYU at continuing education. So your BYU jerseys are going to have BYU patches on them.
That's odd.
Yeah, so it's odd. It'll be it's
but it will not be like a soccer jersey, or you see a lot of golfers with all the patches, or what are some of
won't be
NASCAR.
Big and prominent. Yeah, it won't be big and prominent. The biggest it can be is it's 4 square inches. So just think about a little square, 4 inches on each side. That's as large as it can get.
And they won't have hooch on there either. No booze. No cigarettes. That's as if they're going to put
Marlboro.
I miss the days of big tobacco sponsorships.
Joe Camel.
I have some Marlboro shorts. I love those. Yeah.
I have a Camel,
awesome.
A Camel hat. I have like multiple Camel hats.
Yeah. The tennis used to be the Benson and Hedges. The women's tennis used to be
the Winston Cup.
The Winston Cup. Yeah. But I think they may do that, and I would not in this time. Of making money, we all laughed at Texas Tech last week, and they're easy to laugh at, and I like Tech, but my gosh, when they had this stadium, Jones Stadium, named after a former president of Tech since 1947, you're out of there. What's it going to be? Horizon Heritage
Galaxy,
and then that's it's an AI center near Lubbock, and this ridiculous. Big 12 monster, the Monster Energy football.
Mm-hmm. Monster Energy Big 12 football, Monster Energy Big 12 men's and women's basketball.
That's just crazy.
Are they going to have like a trophy for the
Probably will.
Have a big ass can,
the Monster Energy Cup trophy.
I think they used Dr. Pepper for a long time, the Big 12 did. I know they did the Phillips 66 back in the day that had the big Phillips 66 logo on the trophies.
Sure.
So it'll be interesting to see, especially since every single team has to wear the exact same neon green logo.
It's so going to be green.
Neon, and it has to be that color because Monster wants to stand out.
So, that is ridiculous.
So BYU with a blue uniform is going to wear neon green. Mm-hmm. Tech with black and red going to wear neon green. So
we'll see if Texas does this in the next few weeks. We're, less than 2 months away from kickoff against Texas State. I don't know. And Dirty Martins, I think you're out of the running there. Mark Niemer and Daniel, you can't have enough money. Texas State, I wonder if Texas State is well. They've got some well-heeled alumni with some corporations and everything. Yeah, maybe they'll find one.
Yeah. Trey mentioned it early. Yeti could be a good one.
Yes. Yeah.
That one, it's a simple logo, just a white Yeti on the shoulder. It won't be too prominent, but it's just enough there to get some money.
Yeah. Okay, fellas, it's been fun. Thanks to Tommy Morrison for being on. More fun tomorrow. See you next time. Trey Elling next year on 102.7 ESPN. For Kyle and Trey, I'm Ed Clements. Listen to our friend Trey Elling coming up next here on 102.7 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN.